My name is Alan, and together with my wife Helen here, we lead Community Church, part of the church. Thank you for the whoop there from the front. We lead Community Church and both work here on the staff team. We continue through the series that Mick has started over the last couple of weeks, inviting people to join us in building community. That's the vision for the year, and as part of that, we're looking to see as many homes from within the congregation opened for Jesus, where we can share hospitality, coffee, cake, and Jesus with those around us. Last week, Mick kicked off the teaching series on Galatians and started in Galatians 1 and the first few verses. And that's why we're going to be going through the morning over the coming months. In the evening, the 6 p.m. starts again this evening. In the evening, we will be journeying through 1 Corinthians, and that's really exciting. Last week, as you may remember, Mick started the journey through Galatians asking the question, what is a Christian? And very quickly came back with the answer, somebody who puts their faith into practice. And today we're going to be going through Galatians, and we're going to be going verses 11 through to 24. And we're going to be asking the question, can God use me? I'd like to assure you right at the outset that the answer to that question is yes. But as we go through, we're going to journey through this passage together. So you may want to grab a Bible. There are some in front of you. You may want to pick them up on your phone. The scriptures will be on the screen behind me. And again, you may remember last week that Mick mentioned that he was astonished that the people of Galatia had already begun to turn away from the gospel that Paul had preached to them. They'd begun to pick up a different gospel. And Mick had mentioned that Paul was trying to bring back the people of the church to the fact that it is just Jesus. Jesus is all you need. It's not Jesus and something else. It's not Jesus and religion. It's not Jesus and circumcision. It's not Jesus and. It's just simply Jesus. That's the gospel that was preached. But let's open the scriptures. Let's have the first part of the passage. Here we are, Paul speaking. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Now, let's just pause there for a moment. What Paul is saying is that his authority is not because he's heard this or picked it up somewhere else. His authority for the gospel that he preaches comes direct from God. It's not his opinion. It's not something that he's read on Facebook. It's not a headline, and this isn't what he thinks. This is something that he has had by direct revelation from Jesus Christ himself. Now, I could stand at the front here and I could claim the same thing. And you would very quickly, I hope, lift me and take me out back and throw me in the heretic bin that Malk keeps out the back as part of the estates team. Because as we stand here as preachers, we are trying to expose God's word to you, God's written word, to open the scriptures, to reveal today a fresh word, yes, something that God is saying to us now, but it comes from what is written. Paul is saying, I'm not doing that. I'm revealing something new and fresh. I'm bringing some understanding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man that you've heard about, this man that you may have even seen. But this is what it means. And this isn't my opinion. This isn't, as I say, something I've picked up on Facebook. This is the unchanging, once and for all, gospel of Jesus Christ. And if I were to make that claim, you could only look at me and go, well, I'm not sure. Paul has 2,000 years of history of shaping today's society, then and now, to back up his claim that Jesus had given him this great revelation. And I would like to encourage you right at the outset that as you listen to a preacher, as you listen to the podcasts in the week that the team are putting together for you, that has to be a springboard for you into wrestling with God for yourself. We're not trying to do the work for you, but to provide an access point so that you can hear for yourself God's voice as he speaks to us here as a community. Let's read on. Verses 13 and 14. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father, my fathers. What Paul is saying here is, I was exceptional. I was the best of the best. When it comes to keeping the law, when it comes to keeping the religion of Judaism, I was excelling beyond anybody else. I was superb. But what Paul is also saying, that I may have been exceptional, but I was exceptionally wrong when it comes to this gospel that I preach. That all of that, he says elsewhere, all of that I consider rubbish, except for the wonders and the beauty and the majesty of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Again, let's move on. 15 and 16. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So Paul, an exceptionally religious man, has been called by the grace of God, shown that he was doing things ever so slightly wrong, and then given the task to take this great message to the Gentiles. Just pausing there for a moment. As an incredibly religious man, Paul was sent to those that were unclean. He wouldn't have even spoken to a Gentile. He wouldn't have even entered their home. He wouldn't have eaten with them. Because if he did, it would have made him unclean. And so he would have had to have gone through ritual and washing in order to enter the temple where he was to meet with God. So Jesus gave him a job that he probably didn't want to do. Can God use me is today's title. And then finally here, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother, and I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judah there that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. So again, Paul is just simply saying, I didn't learn this gospel from anyone. Not even the apostles, not even the disciples who spent time with Jesus. That wasn't the origin of where my message came from. Once again, just saying, my message is direct from Jesus. So as we move on, I just want to be really clear before we answer the question, can God use me? What is it? What is the essence of this gospel message that Paul preaches? Firstly, as Mick has preached on quite a lot last year, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is the first. He is supreme above all things. And as I said at the start, it's not Jesus and. It's not Jesus and anything else. It is just simply Jesus. And through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, he has given us free access to Jesus Christ, to God himself. It was as if once upon a time, Paul and the rest of humanity were shut outside of the palace gates, behind armed guards, the doors to the palace shut and locked. And in order to reach Jesus, to reach God, we would just have to try and be the best that we could possibly be, to try and do and outdo one another, to try and earn a way in through the gates, in to see the king. Trying desperately hard to earn that little ticket to the garden party so we might just get a moment with royalty. or to be the best of the best and to serve in such a way that we might get noticed and we might have the honor and the privilege of coming and kneeling in the palace and maybe having a sword laid on the shoulders as you get that 2 minutes with royalty. It was once as if we were shut out trying to earn our way into that place. But through Jesus and through his death on the cross, the guards have been stood down. The palace gates have been thrown open. And Jesus has taken us and personally escorted us through the wide open doors of the palace, in through, into the throne room, God's very throne room himself. Not because we are worth it, not because we've earned our place, but because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not even into the throne room, as awesome and a privilege that that is. We've been invited into the very living room of God, where we get to spend time with the Father, personally, being known by him, not distanced, but together, united. And as we celebrate communion, the coming and becoming one with him, we are no longer shut out of the palace. So can God use me? That's the question today. Can God use me? And the answer is yes, but not in the way that Paul sought to be used by God. It's not about doing things for God. It's not about trying to earn our way into his good books. It's not about being right and special and perfect. It's about doing things alongside God, doing it with him, drawing close to him and learning from him. So Jesus takes you by the hand, takes you into the palace, takes you into the living room of God, and he welcomes you, gets to know you, but he will put you into his service. He wants to use us. But like, just like Paul, we can get that ever so slightly wrong. Now, a few years ago, I used to take a regular train ride on a Monday across the Pennines to Manchester. And I thought, you know, I work for a church. It would be really good if God might make use of me. It would be really nice if, you know, I could maybe chat to somebody on the train and be able to talk about Jesus and talk about the work of what's going on here at the church. So I would go and find a seat where one seat was occupied. It was fine. It was Manchester. There were never any empty seats where I couldn't sit next to anybody. So I would go and I would take my seat in the train carriage next to somebody and I would smile, one of my winning smiles, and I would try and just simply strike up conversation, not mentioning Jesus' name yet because that would be too much, ladies and gentlemen. No, I would sit down next to them. I'd smile and I'd just strike up conversation about something of the day or the journey or the busyness of the trains, whatever it was. And the number of people who shuffled uncomfortably in their seats and turned their backs to me or put the headphones out of their bag and placed them in their ears and you could see them just turning the volume up ever so slightly and didn't speak to me for the rest of the time. And I thought, oh, come on, Lord, this is going on week after week. I'm getting incredibly frustrated that all I'm getting is the ability to talk to people's backs of heads. And that's not what I want here. So I took some time and I prayed and I said, Lord, what's going on here? He said, hi, it's nice if you ask me about these things and draw close to me. Come and spend some time with me before you try and run out and do things for me. So after I'd had that little conversation and I was lovingly nudged and spend some time with me before you go and do that thing. The very next day, I went, and this is a miracle in itself, ladies and gentlemen. It was a train between Sheffield and Manchester, and there was one of those tables, four seats around it, and there was only one other person sat in that space. It's an amazing miracle. If anyone's ever travelled that way, you'll know what it is that I mean. More often than not, you end up sat in the luggage compartment because there's nowhere else to sit. So I sat down across from a woman. We had arrived at the same time, and I just said, hi, how are you doing? And a conversation started. I didn't think she was probably young enough for headphones, who knows, but a conversation started, and during the short journey, the 45 minutes, an hour across the Pennines, I was able to talk to her about the work that's going on here at the church, with teenagers, with homeless, with the stuff down in Furvale, and to talk to her about Jesus. Not only that, she was the lead independent counsellor for the whole of the UK. People that stand for local politics, anybody that isn't representing a party but is standing as an independent, she is the lead voice And I was able to share something of what church does that is good and gracious and is serving the community and share that our motivation is Jesus Christ. The last train journey I took was I'd spent some time down in Birmingham with Colin, who is also training with BMS. And I came up on the train, and as I arrived, I thought, Lord, come on, we can do this. And as I arrived on the train, there was another guy getting on, and out of the bag that he just stashed in the overhead compartment, he took out a bottle of red wine, and only one glass. So I had my conversation starter. Brother, do you have another glass? He said, no. I said, what are you celebrating? And he was celebrating the end of a period of study. He was handing in his work, and he was on his way back on the train from Birmingham up to Harrogate. The exams had been in Harrogate. He lived in Birmingham. He lived up in Harrogate. And we just got talking. I had some connection in terms of traveling for study, and he was interested in what was going on. And it turned out that he was a staunch atheist. So there were lots of stuff that he'd picked up on Facebook, lots of little headlines, lots of little, you know, oh, you Christians, kind of conversations. And graciously, God gave me the answer or the question to ask that undermined some of the stuff that he was talking about. And it was brilliant. The train journey just went in a flash. We arrived, pulled into Sheffield, and I really wanted to stay as we travelled up to Harrogate. But had I done that, he probably would have not listened very much longer because the bottle of wine was going down and I still hadn't been offered any. Hey. So there are times when we want to be used by God, and actually we just go about trying to do those things. And it may be that you've been involved in a ministry here at the church, whether it's Natter or Revive Cafe or working with the kids or with the youth, and actually you just go through the motion. You're serving, but actually you're not spending that time. I'm not spending that time in God's presence, because it's when we spend time in God's presence that he breathes on us and brings us and the stuff that we're involved with to life. We have that free access into the living room of God. And sometimes we just choose to stay outside of the palace gates and working as if, you know, if we're good enough or if we keep doing the right thing, God's going to turn up and show up. We just need to approach him and his throne of grace. But I must admit, can God use me? There are also times, ladies and gentlemen, confession time, when you know what? It's been a long week. The kids have been kids, and so there's a lot of stress and aggro in the house, and I've been out a lot of the evenings for stuff that's going on at church or out with friends, and I get to the end of the week and I think, you know what? I'm not sure that I can be bothered, God, for you to use me. I don't know whether anybody else here, you know, the busyness of life, or whether it's just me and you're all sat there looking at me and condemning me right now. That's fine. I don't mind that. Put myself on the stage. I've got to expect that from time to time, don't I? But I don't know whether there are times when you just think, Lord, I don't want to notice that homeless person. I don't want to see the neighbors struggling with the bins when I go, because I just want to go home and I just want to spend some time with my wife. I don't know whether you ever get that kind of feeling as well. And also perhaps like Paul being sent to the Gentiles, you're going to ask me to do something that just makes me feel that little bit uncomfortable. And Lord, as it's the end of the week, and as I'm tired, and as I'm trying to justify my inactivity, I have prayed the prayer. I have invited you into my life, so surely, you know, I can not be serving you today. Surely that's okay, isn't it? And perhaps we get into the place, just like the disciples, who when they were first called, all they wanted to do was catch fish. Maybe the work that you do, maybe the stuff that occupies you day by day, you just want to catch fish. And yet hanging out with Jesus, as they did over those 3 years, they went from people that just wanted to catch fish to being people that thought that they could change the world. Little picture for you. Anybody know who this gentleman is? A few, yeah. He's just the highest paid footballer in the Premier League. Reported to be earning £500,000 a week after tax. Alexis Sanchez. He's just made the transfer from Arsenal to Manchester United. The Red Devils, there's probably something in that. But so he's just made that way. And just imagine, okay, can I be bothered? Is God going to use me? Can he use me? Just imagine. Alexis Sanchez, I know the transfer fee wasn't huge. You know, it was just somebody else called Mkhitaryan going the other way. So the transfer fee wasn't huge. But imagine that he just commanded the biggest transfer fee in the history of football. That he signs this huge, huge contract, £500,000 a week after tax. And he goes and he signs the paper, and then he chooses to not turn up to training. Chooses not to turn up and play football when he's been asked to. Imagine if that was his response. Because it's the same for you and I. The gospel is that God has picked up the phone. He's called us personally. And he said, you know what? I'm going to pay the biggest transfer fee so that you might come and play on my team. The biggest transfer fee in the whole history of the world, both past and future. The death of my son, Jesus Christ. The one whose life you can't put a price on. I'm going to pay that value for you and for me. What's more, as a salary, I'm going to give you access to the riches of heaven. You may not be financially rich, but the blessings that I'm going to pour upon you from the riches of heaven, I'm going to put at your disposal. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a choice. Do we refuse to play, refuse to turn up to training? Or do we just go along, seek his voice, take time in the throne room, be asking him, Lord, what can I do for you today? Because unlike football, which is training for a game once a week, twice a week, Jesus is training us for all of life, every moment of every day. Do we choose to meet with the coach, to listen to his voice and simply put that into practice? Or do we sit on the sidelines because we're far too busy to meet with him? You see, God can use us, but God can only use us if we do things his way. It's not about doing things our way. It's not about running off and serving him when we're not meeting with him. It's about doing things his way. Drawing close, listening to him, asking him that we might serve him during the day. But you might be sat here today thinking, you know what? Life's not going so well. Life's a bit of a mess. I've had all kinds of stuff pressing in on me. I've made some bad choices in my life. I've fallen out with this person. I got in a bad place financially and I've run up debts. I'm just struggling in order to be able to make ends meet and to pay off those debts that I've already got. It may be that you just sat thinking, you know what? God can use me, but I'm not. He's called me and he's asked me to come and play for his team, but I don't think I've got anything to offer. Because life is just hard and I'm not great. And it can feel as if we've got caught in some kind of web that every time we turn, every time we try and do something, every time we try and get out of this place, we end up just that little bit more ensnared. Or it might feel that we've ended up in this dark maze and we're just making decisions, taking turns. And whatever we do, we just can't seem to see the light and see to find our way out of the predicament that we found ourselves in. And again, what Jesus is asking us to do is just to pause, to place our struggles and our issues before him, to seek his voice, to seek his word into the situation that we find ourselves in. Because he will give us the direction, step by step, to bring us out of those dark places that we found ourselves in, often through no fault of our own. Again, we don't have to be good enough. We don't have to have it all together. We can have messed up and messed up and messed up, and still Jesus takes us by the hand and leads us into the living room of God. And you may not think that God can use you because of who you are and what's happened in your life. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not the God that I know and serve. And I know from Paul's other writings that he chooses the weakest and the least of us to shame those that think we're something. And some of the most amazing people that I've met from within the congregation here are people that would never stand on the stage, wouldn't necessarily have the confidence to stand on the stage, and yet God uses them powerfully every single day. I just want to finish by asking the question, if God is going to use us and if that means entering into the palace, what does that look like? Because we come to church and, you know, we listen to the podcasts. We can get caught up in doing those things and we can never feel as if we've had those moments. And I would just put to you this morning that sometimes that we just need to stop. We just need to pause. We just need to turn off the world and turn on our connection with God. There was one of the college students, they come and they speak on a Tuesday morning and they share something from the Bible. For some of them, it's the very first time that they've spoken. And there was one of the guys that spoke last year, I think it was, and he said, you know what, if you want to see the stars in the sky, you have to move to a place where there is no light and there is no background noise. That might mean leaving the city and going and standing in the middle of the peaks, although there's still lots of cities around and we don't get that perfect view of the sky. But sometimes we just need to switch everything off so that we can get a full view of God's glory and spend time in his presence. Sometimes we need to put down the to-do list. We need to just think, you know what? The washing will wait till tomorrow, even though I've got a teenager that is desperate for football kit. Even just for 5 minutes, turning off our mobile phones, getting up a paper copy of the Bible so that you don't have alerts pinging up at you all the time. Just switching off and spending time in his presence. And we may in that time read the Bible, we may pray. I just encourage you just to spend time in the living room of God with him. Don't rush it. Prize open that relationship with God and everything begins to change. And I think that there are maybe three responses that we need to make this morning. The first, it may be that you feel like you are caught in a maze at the moment, that there is stuff going on in your life that maybe one or two know about, maybe nobody knows about, but you feel just lost and you don't know where to turn. God knows you and he sees you. Pause, take some time, listen for his voice. You may want to come and receive prayer this morning. The second is that you, like I, might be trying to do things your own way. It may be that you are trying to serve God in a particular way, that you are going through the motions of praying and reading the Bible, but it never really seems to come alive. It may be that you're serving on a team or a ministry, and it just feels like it's going that little bit stale. God just says, stop, pause, come to me. Spend time with me. Let me breathe life once again into your tired and weary bodies. And then finally, for those that don't think that they're good enough, just invite you to come. Take God by the hand. Seek his face once again. And just see him transform you into the image and likeness of his beautiful, beautiful Son.